Lord helping us, let us turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18, and taking for our text this morning, verse 20. Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This text before us this morning, a very well-known word, and one which we have often heard the dear brethren use as we have gathered together in his name. It is a promise which has dropped from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And blessed be Jesus that this promise speaks down to the end of time. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. The Lord, of course, meets with every one of his people. We don't need two or three to know personally the Lord's presence. The Lord is pleased to manifest himself unto each of his dear people. He has said to his church, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you. And how the Lord reveals himself to sinners, and indeed to everyone personally and individually. And speaking in the Gospel according to John, he speaks of each and every one of his people. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. But the word in our text this morning speaks of God's special presence. It speaks of a company, two or three, gathering together. It speaks of a church coming together, believers coming together to worship, to call upon him in his name. What a mercy that the Lord condescends to meet with just a few. And how applicable this word is in our day, when up and down our land we see signs of great declension. I believe there was something among the Jews, the Pharisees. They believed a congregation was not so unless there were more than 10. The Lord Jesus says, where two or three. The Lord does not look upon numbers. The Lord is pleased to meet with his people, however few. And this is his promise to his church, here below, two or three. For where two or three are gathered together in my name. This is the vital thing. When we gather together, that we are gathered together in his name. gathering together in the name of Jesus. This gathering together in his name, what does it really mean? Why they take his name upon their lips? And God is in their thoughts. We often read of those gathering together to call upon his name. We think back to the book of Genesis when we read those words, "Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." Would imply a collective calling upon his name. One of the most vital things in worship is to call upon him to pray. When we pray, we are asking God to come down, asking God to be with us. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. We are asking an almighty God to dwell with sinners. What an amazing thought. That high and holy one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Yet I dwell with him that is of a humble and a contrite spirit. And he revives the spirit of the contrite, revives the heart of the humble. The Lord, although be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. And this is the wonderful thing, that sinners can call upon the Almighty and he comes to them through his own well-beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Then this must be a vital part of worship. Indeed, I don't believe there can be worship without prayer. The verse preceding speaks along these lines, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. We throughout the Acts often read of the believers gathering together to pray. Oh, to beg the Lord for his help and his assistance. What an encouragement it is when two or three can call upon him. Why, the force of their united prayers no power can long withhold. And what an encouragement it is to hear our brethren ask the same things as we desire. Why, our hearts are knit to them. We're not alone in our desires. We're not alone in our wishes. Our brother feels the same. And it is to us like iron sharpening iron. What an encouragement it is to be found together for a prayer meeting. And may we not despise these things. If we think lightly of prayer, my friends, we must think lightly of worship. My friends, we cannot do without him. And we need to call upon him for his assistance. Souls who gather together for worship, they call upon him. We remember one place we read of in our chapter this morning in Acts. That place by the riverside, We read where prayer was wont to be made. And do we not have there this truth? It does not matter where these two or three are gathered together. It was near a riverside. And these souls may gather anywhere in the fear of God. And indeed we think of the past when many were compelled to meet in secret places of the earth. But wherever they meet together, we think of Paul and Silas in that chapter who were in the prison, shut up and away from the Lord's people, in darkness and chains. But that did not prevent them from gathering together in his name. What a thought, whatever our condition it is, where two or three are gathered together in his name. We read of Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Yes, they were not ashamed to meet for worship in the hearing of the world. My friends, in our day we have to come apart, and we come out separate from the world a few moments to gather together in the name of our God. Maybe not be ashamed of Jesus, not be ashamed of this devotion, this command. For Paul said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It is New Testament order that we should meet in God's house or anywhere in his name. May we not be ashamed. Many will despise. Many will look upon us with contempt. But God has owned this people. And God will bless this people. My dear friends, how sorrowful we feel for the world who choose not to come. Never enter the doors of his house, have no desire to meet in his name. What a solemn thing. They choose not to come. And do we not by nature the same? But they never obtain this blessing. There am I in the midst of them. Oh, may we be helped to be faithful to God, and indeed to continue. And although there be much affliction perhaps with the Lord's people, many hindrances, I'm sure the Lord's people will desire to be amongst his people. You who perhaps are detained at times through affliction, I believe in your heart there will be the prayer of the psalmist, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And your tears will be your meat day and night. Whilst the enemy says to you, where is your God? This will be all the best place in the earth for you. You know, the psalmist knew it. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Lovely Mount Zion. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Lovely Mount Zion. This will be that holy hill the Lord's people desire to ascend to pay their vows there, to meet with God there. This will be the best place in the world for you, if you are a believer. For Jesus has said, "There am I in the midst of them." Everything else in this world is dying. It's vain. It comes to an end. Every joy here below, there's always something that mars it and will eventually destroy it. But here we have solid joys and solid pleasures, lasting pleasures for the people of God. Here they really feed and want no more. Oh, they know fullness in the house of God. A fullness, you see, resides in Jesus our head, which ever abides to answer our need. Set before this people, it is the bread of life. There is a table prepared for them in the presence of their enemies, and their cup runs over. Oh yes, and their desire is forever to dwell in the house of the Lord. All the streams on earth they've tasted, more deep they'll drink above. They know the rivers which make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The church know his gracious assistance, gracious presence, and all his help. There am I in the midst of them. It's Jesus then, really, Jesus within the doors. This is what makes it the house of God. It was so with Jacob when he went out from his father's house and came to Bethel and saw that vision of the ladder set up upon the earth and the angels ascending and descending upon it. And in holy awe he said, "This is none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven." Oh, he saw that blessed mediator, the man Christ Jesus, a way set up to heaven. And it's nothing really but Christ within the doors that makes it the house of God. The fabric of this building does not make it the house of God. It's that glory, the glory of the Lord that fills the place, that Shekinah glory which makes it the house of God. You know that tabernacle of old in the wilderness. What was it that made it so special? A holy tabernacle, a holy place. It was because the Lord was in it. He came down in a cloud and he rested upon that tabernacle. That was the hope of Israel, that the Lord was amongst them, that the cloud would remain with them and he would not take his glory from them. This was the glory of Israel. And we're reminded of Moses, when the children of Israel had sinned in raising up that golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai, how the Lord was grieved that they had turned away from him. And he said to Moses he would not go up in the midst of them. And how Moses' heart ached for his people. Oh, he says, if thy presence go not with us, go not with me, carry us not up hence. He desired the Lord to be in the midst of them. For the Lord had removed the tabernacle to the outside of the camp. Oh, what desolation. We need, my friends, in our day, the Lord in the midst of us. We want him to walk in us. Like John saw in the Revelation, when he saw one like unto the Son of Man, and he was walking in the midst of the candlesticks. Well, friends, we need Jesus to walk in the midst of our churches still. And nothing really but the real presence of Christ will satisfy God's living family. Nothing else but the real bread of life. The people in the desert, in the wilderness of old, had to gather their manna daily. My friends, you will not be satisfied unless you feed on the body and the precious blood of Christ. This is real food for the people of God. Why, Jesus, how we read of him revealing himself to his disciples as they gathered together after his resurrection on the first day of the week. The doors were shut and they were assembled together for fear of the Jews. But Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Oh yes, an evidence here that what he has promised is true. That where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus is faithful and true to his promise. These souls were gathering together. They had seen cruel and wicked men take him and deliver him to be crucified. And now they gather together, a despised and rejected people. And in much fear and trembling, yet gathering together. And Jesus comes into the midst of them. Peace be unto you. When Jesus is in the midst of a congregation, there will be peace. And there will be joy and liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And this man shall be the peace. My friends, it will not be a false peace. It will be real peace for the people of God. They'll be able to lay their burdens before him, able to cast their care upon him, able to see one who loveth at all times, a brother born for adversity. Friends, what a mercy when Jesus comes into the midst. It's not just Jesus in the midst of the congregation, but it's Jesus in the midst of them, in their very soul, in their very hearts. How does he affect this in his people? Why, he's promised to send the Holy Ghost in his name. He shall receive of mine, and he shall show it unto you. And this is how we are led to Christ, and how he is given to us. He sends himself and his word by his Spirit. And this is a great truth, friends, that Jesus is in the midst of us. What a great truth this is. Two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. My friend, to feel him near, to know him with you. And this is what the church is ever longing for. This has been the desire of the church from the beginning, that I might know him, whom to know is life eternal. I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. This is what the church want. And this is living desire, to know him. Friends, would you know him? Come to the house of God. For God has promised, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, this is where the Lord's people have had tokens. This is where the Lord's people have heard his voice. Where he has revealed himself through his word to them. It's been in his house, in his sanctuary. This is the place where his honour dwelleth. This is the place where he is pleased to reveal himself. There am I in the midst of them. But you see, they come seeking Jesus, just like those Jews of old who came to the disciples and said, those Greeks of old, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus." Well, those that seek shall find. They are the words of Jesus. My friends, oh, may we be helped to continue seeking him. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. They are the words of Christ. May we be encouraged to not draw back apart from every temptation of Satan, every buffeting of Satan, to keep you as a sinner from the house of God, to tell you that you are unholy and unclean to be amongst the Lord's people. My friends, oh, this is where he is. You who seek Jesus. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Yes, Jesus in the midst of them. He is God. He can be everywhere. And this shows his almighty power. He is the Son of God. Indeed, he is omniscient, omnipresent amongst his people. There am I in the midst of them. But this is the vital thing. Two or three are gathered together in my name. It requires then the Lord's people should have bestowed upon them that grace of faith. Without faith it is impossible to please God. And the Lord works this in his people's hearts when they come together. Why one may be so dark and destitute the day before, the morning before, the hour before. But he works in his people, who can tell? And perhaps you may have entered into his house dark. And yet, the Lord kindles a little hope, a little faith. And what are you hoping in? You're hoping in his name. They'll do something for his holy name's sake for you. Yes, not for your righteousness or your goodness. As the Lord clearly said to the house of Israel, not for your sakes do I this unto you, but for my holy name's sake. And this is the Lord's people's hope as they come together. They come together for Jesus' sake. The Lord will do something for them for Jesus' sake. And they seek to lay their load at his feet. Oh, and the Lord then gives them, although they might not discern much of it, the grace of faith to look to him. These are the people that are gathering together in his name. And the vital thing of coming together only in his name. Not in the name of a minister or any such thing, but in the name of Jesus Christ. For God will be glorified in the midst of them. And no flesh will glory in his presence. It's Christ who will be seen in the midst if we are gathering together in his name. And may he yet be seen in the midst of Zion in this way. The Lord's people come seeking him and nothing else. When they're in their right mind, there am I in the midst of them. But let us consider just for a moment the way in which we come together. My friends, I hope it is not a light thing with us to gather together in his name. I preached a few months ago from Leviticus, and there is that solemn account of Nadab and Abihu who offered strange fire before the Lord. They rushed into his presence, rushed into the holy place, and offered strange fire, and the Lord was grieved and slew them. And it reveals to us the holiness of God. And the Lord said to Moses, "This is that which I spake unto thee. I will be sanctified in them which draw nigh unto me. And amongst all the people I will be glorified." The Lord will be sanctified in these people. My friends, we need to be kept from rushing into the presence of God. We need to come in the right way, remembering whose house this is, whose presence we are meeting in, whose name it is that we are taking upon our lips. For whilst God receives sinners, my friends, they are broken sinners. And he does not accept sin. We must remember whose presence we meet in. I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. Remember Moses at the burning bush. How he had to take off his shoes from off his feet. For the place whereon he stood was holy ground. And he did so in holy awe and reverence before Almighty God. He could see who he was standing before and who was speaking to him. It was Almighty God, and he was nothing before him. Oh, may we come in like manner to the house of God and be as those that turn in tenderly and gather in the fear of God, not to take his name on our lips hastily. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. The Lord does not set out here any particular way in which we are to conduct ourselves in the house of God. And yet, throughout the epistles, the apostle opens up various ways in which we are to conduct ourselves. May we be given grace to heed the way, the order which he has set by the Holy Ghost for the New Testament church. But we see some characteristics that these people are gathering together. We say to call upon him. And these people are gathering together to sing praises to him, as Paul and Silas sang praises in that prison. And they speak to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And they make melody in their hearts to the Lord. And indeed, there is the preaching of the gospel. The Lord's blessing is said to rest upon the ministry of his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The vital thing, one of the vital things, the reading, the preaching of the holy word of God. His holy word, which he has said shall not return unto him void, but shall accomplish that which he has pleased, and prosper in the thing whereto he has sent it. These things constitute a gathering together in his name. It is in the Lord's name. And the Lord will be glorified in the midst of them. Friends, however weak and despised this people are, however poor they are in their own sight, these are precious in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Yes, although they be despised by the world, they are like a garden walled around and made peculiar ground. Their feet stand within Jerusalem, the habitation of peace. And there their best friends, their kindred dwell. Their God, their Saviour, reigns. This is their home. Their King reigns here. Their God reigns here. They are at home in the house of God amongst the Lord's people. Are you at home here? Friends, if you are at home here, like David we referred to earlier, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, is this your holy delight, my friends, to meet together in his name? This poor and despised people. And yet I say, the Lord's eye is upon them. And they gather together away from the world. We read often, as we refer to, how often they meet together on the Lord's Day. And what a mercy, even this day, that the Lord's people have a day set apart from every other where they can gather together in his name. Or maybe not underestimate this great privilege. The Lord has seen fit that there should be an earthly Sabbath for the Lord's dear people. A gracious preparation and type of the everlasting Sabbath which is before the Church of Christ. And it is pleased the Lord to own and bless this day. Yes, we read of it from the creation. He blessed that day and he sanctified it and he set it apart from every other day. May we know that true rest. It's Christ, the peace. This man shall be the peace. It's Christ in the midst of us. And he, my friends, will have all the glory. He'll have all the glory hereafter. And he will truly have the glory in his church. And as we referred to earlier, no flesh shall glory in his presence. And he knows how to bring proud flesh down. Yes, my friends, he knows how to humble us in his presence. He knows how to get honour and glory to his name. Oh, may we truly be helped to bow the knee to him. And may we in Zion, and may you here at Zor, know much of his presence still. Oh, this is the desire of his people. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord bless his word. Amen.